Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in a Thursday edition of the show live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville, and glad to have you with us today. Lots to get to, and of course, yesterday, Governor Holcomb with his Wednesday update, we now know that the next step, at least in Indiana's fight against the coronavirus, trying to get sports in, trying to get high school, college sports to happen, if you're looking at it from a sports perspective, is face mask. Face coverings of some sort will be required in the state when you're in a public space and when you're in an outdoor space, and social distancing cannot be cannot happen starting on Monday in our state. So each week it seems like another announcement, a little bit of news. Some people agree, some people disagree, but that's where we're at as we try to hone in this coronavirus outbreak. And I say outbreak, I guess the numbers are an uptick here in Indiana, and we will see how that plays out over the next few weeks. But I really think that the number of cases and the hospitalizations and the things that the state and health departments look at to determine what decisions need to be made next all factor in some way to the return of sports as we want and of high school sports. And so we'll see between now and mid-August when football scrimmages and games shortly after that are supposed to kick off across the state if the numbers are reducing and the numbers are not spiking as they are a bit, I think, in our state, but more so in some other states especially. It seems like everybody right now is experiencing a rise in the cases of the virus, and obviously some of the big states are western states, Arizona, Texas, Florida down south, experiencing some huge jumps. I'd look at the numbers of new cases each day. It's just unbelievable. But this is where we're at. It's what we're fighting. And for those of you listening, a lot of you probably keep sports pretty close to the top of your priorities as we want to get back to some normalcy there. Wear a face mask. If you haven't already started, you're going to have to start on Monday. And let's hope that that does help curb the cases. There's a lot of science and studies out there that tell you if both parties wearing face masks, I saw yesterday even 80% reduction in the chance of a transmission of the virus, and that came from the governor's press conference yesterday. That's a big deal. So wear your face mask, and obviously Monday in our state, it's a requirement. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, and we'll talk about a number of things in the news today for Southern Indiana and, of course, for IU sports. We'll take a look at a new opponent on the IU basketball schedule for the upcoming season that's now out. We'll also tell you about or remind you about a prospect tonight named Jordan Longino, who is set to make his college decision at 8 o'clock. Villanova and Indiana among his finalists. A couple predictions that they think the recruiting experts think that Villanova will be where Longino commits, but we'll see what happens tonight, and perhaps Indiana tomorrow when we join you for the Friday show has a new commitment. We'll have to see how things play out with this decision tonight, but you can follow Longino. I believe he's going to announce his decision on Twitter tonight. We'll talk some about that. We'll take a look at some school stuff in the area, some schools delaying their openings, and we'll chat about that here in our headline segment. Also, Rock Creek girls basketball has hired a new girls basketball coach, and she's a very familiar name in high school basketball here in the area. So we'll tell you about that and more in our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a moment. Also, later in the show, you know, it's Thursday. We always have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us as we talk IU basketball. And with Alex tonight, or today, I should say, we'll talk about the IU schedule for next season. We'll talk about Jordan Longino as a recruit and what Alex's thoughts on his chances of selecting Indiana tonight is. And we'll take a look at some more off-season storylines. Alex has had a great feature on his website over the last couple of weeks, taking a look at some of the big off-season storylines to follow with Indiana basketball. And so we'll recap some of those again this week on the program. And then later in the show today, Todd Sturgeon, Floyd Central head coach, he's going to join the show as we take a summer update, a summer look at the Highlanders for this season. We'll talk about Jake Heidbreeder. We'll talk about Caleb Washington, a young player on Floyd Central that has some real promise in front of him, and others as well, all coming up today on the show. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to stop by the Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany and check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can pick up, and curbside service, it's still available at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Zaxby's headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And we start with a new addition to the IU basketball schedule for the 2020-2021 college basketball season. That is, if the season is played and if the season starts on time and if the season is not made conference only, like what football has been announced, at least in the Big Ten Conference, so far. That game will be a Friday, November 13th game. The Indiana Hoosiers will host Western Michigan, and that game was reported yesterday according to a contract obtained by the D1 Docket, who tracks a lot of these non-conference games early in the season. Western Michigan Broncos, they're from the Mid-American Conference. They were 13-19 last season, and they ranked a whopping 237th in the KenPom computer rankings for last year. And just to kind of summarize the IU schedule, and again, I'm sure this is going to change. It wouldn't surprise me if non-conference games are bumped back or completely eliminated. Who knows right now at this point what's going to happen with the college basketball season. But NJIT, the New Jersey Institute of Technology, set to open the regular season on Tuesday, November 10th in Bloomington. Western Michigan, the game we just mentioned, Friday, November 13th. Then Indiana will go to the Gavitt tip-off games. Could be a home game, could be a road game. We know it'll be against a Big East team, and it will be during the opening week of the regular season. That schedule, as far as who's at home, who's away, who you play, it will not be announced until a little bit later this summer. I think normally at this point it would be out by now, but because of the pandemic and so much uncertainty about the season, no announcement yet on the Gavitt tip-off game that Indiana will play in. Also, the Maui Gym Maui Invitational, it's November 23rd through the 25th, around Thanksgiving out in Hawaii, Alabama, Davidson, North Carolina, Providence, Stanford, Texas, UNLV, join Indiana as teams in that 8-team event. And I tell you what, it's really hard for me to see as we sit here getting ready to start August in a week or so, really hard for me to see teams traveling that far out of the continental United States to Maui for a early season tournament. I could be wrong. Things could get better, but that's a hard one to see for sure when you think about next season. Following the Maui Invitational, the Big Ten ACC Challenge should be a road game for Indiana, but we do not know the date or the opponent yet for Indiana. And then the Crossroads Classic will follow that. Indiana this year will take on Butler. That game is at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Saturday, December 19th. Robert Morris comes to Bloomington on Tuesday, December 22nd. Nebraska-Omaha to Bloomington on Tuesday, December 29th. And that's where things stop as far as the non-conference go. That's what we know so far. A pretty complete look, except for who and where in the Big Ten ACC Challenge and the Gavitt tip-off games as well. We pretty much know basically the non-conference look for Indiana this year. Of course, who they play in the ACC side and who they play from the Big East side of those two challenge games can really up the ante of the schedule, you could say, especially if they get a top member of one of those fellow Power 5 conferences as well. Also, in our headlines today, Jordan Longino, he is a 2021 guard, basically a shooting guard from Germantown Academy, which is located in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. He is set to announce his college choice tonight at 8 p.m. Again, a lot of people think Villanova's the favorite. A lot of people think Indiana's in the mix. There are a number of other Division I schools that have offered him a scholarship as well. And we'll find out tonight at 8 if Indiana is going to get spurned for a second time here in the last couple weeks by a player picking Villanova over the Hoosiers, or if Indiana has a chance to land Jordan Longino. So tonight we'll find out at 8 o'clock what happens with that young man's recruitment coming up later today. Also, we have been kind of tracking what schools are doing academically with their calendars, and are they going to go back on time? Are they going to start the year with e-learning online and not have in-person classes? And we've said so far this week that Silver Creek, now they're in their own school corporation. They announced they're going to delay school by 2 weeks. That was an announcement that came from their school board earlier in the week. Also, the Borden-Henryville, that's another new school corporation. Those two high schools together in one system now, they announced that they as well are going to delay the start of their school years by 2 weeks. And then also yesterday, Clarksville kind of going with the hybrid model. They're going to bring the students back half one day, half the other day in early August, and it's basically going to be a training day. You'll get your device, you'll get some instruction, maybe meet your teachers, but for the remainder of the month, basically, of August, it will be e-learning, not in person. And then from that point forward, they will consider bringing kids back later in that month or later in the school year. So the first hybrid model, you could say, that we've seen. And then an announcement yesterday by Greater Clark that as of now, school's still set to begin July 29th for Greater Clark, but Jeffersonville High School only will delay school in person by a week. They'll start with e-learning or virtual learning for that July 29th through August 4th week due to a staff member testing positive for COVID-19, but athletic practices on the campus of Jeff will be allowed to continue as scheduled. That's very interesting to see one school shut down or one school take a pause. And whether it's a staff member and it affects the academic side of the calendar, the makeup of the school, or whether it's on the sports side, I think this year we should get used to seeing not a school corporation shut down, but maybe a specific high school like Jeffersonville, or a specific middle school, or a specific elementary school, because there's been a little bit of an outbreak there, or there are some teachers that come positive with COVID-19. It's going to be a different year, not maybe in uniform across the area. You know, normally you wake up when there's snow and it's pretty uniform. Most schools within the area, either 2 hour delay, everybody's on the same page and school is out. I don't think it's going to be like this with the coronavirus. Little pockets here, little issues here. This school closed. Maybe a school corporation makes a school-wide or a school system-wide decision on certain things, but going to be an interesting year for what's closed, what's open, who's on e-learning, and who's on an in-person normal schedule, at least I think so. Also, a key hire in girls basketball last night, Rock Creek in Sellersburg, a 1A school, they announced the hiring of Sarah Nord, former Miss Basketball in Indiana, obviously a great player for the Lady Red Devils a number of years ago. She went on to play college at the University of Louisville. She's been an assistant coach with the Jeff Girls program now for a number of seasons, and she's going to now accept her first head coaching job at Rock Creek. And that's a program that's trying to build. They've had some success in athletics. Their boys basketball team has been very good at times. But the girls program needs a little love and needs somebody to stick with it. And Coach Nord going to take on that challenge starting with the upcoming season. That's a look at our headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk IU basketball with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. The schedule for next year, Jordan Longino, his decision tonight on where he's going to go, and some off-season storylines for the Hoosiers all coming your way. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich inside the hall is my guest. And Alex, before we jump in to IU basketball and some surrounding subjects there, baseball's back. You're a big baseball guy, big White Sox fan. And opening day on July 23rd, who would have ever thought that? The Yankees and the Nationals today. And, of course, we've got NBA exhibition games for day two with the regular season there starting soon. It's a new time for sports. Hard to get used to that you can actually turn the tube on and find some live sports from here in America going on.
Yeah, things felt a little normal the past couple of days. Watched some, obviously, exhibition baseball, as you mentioned. Them getting started. I think there's two games today, and then I think everyone else kind of gets going tomorrow. So I'll be tuning in to that as much as possible. And then I watched yesterday a lot of the NBA exhibition stuff that was on NBA TV. I was actually a little surprised at how the setup looked. It looked pretty cool with all those screens around the court and just how it looked set up. I'm looking forward to seeing once the actual games, the count, get going, how that all looks. And obviously, watched some soccer too. Some European soccer has been on, obviously, the last couple weeks, over a month now that they've been back. So, kind of felt a little normal yesterday, flipping around on the TV and having all those different things on. And let's just hope that this is a precursor to getting college sports back in some capacity.
And one other thing about baseball, you know, the TBT and the NBA, I thought great setups. Love the monitors, love the graphics, love the fact that the empty seats are at least blocked out for the most part when you're watching the game. But baseball, when I watched the Sox and the Cubs in the scrimmage game on Sunday night, that was just that was still really weird to watch with the open stands and no one there. Occasionally you would see a worker meandering through the stands or sitting down, but that was different. It seems to me that, at least when I watch, fans in baseball might be more important than fans in basketball, at least how these things are set up right now.
Yeah, I mean, from a TV perspective, I think now having a chance to watch baseball now and basketball a little bit and soccer, I think it comes through the most on baseball and soccer because they're playing, obviously, in much bigger facilities. Baseball specifically, I mean, they're still playing in their home stadium. So somewhere like, you know, the White Sox or the Cubs, I mean, you're talking about a, you know, a 40, 45,000 seat baseball stadium with no fans in it. It's going to look weird on TV when you kind of do the wide shots and you see there's nobody there. Whereas, you know, the NBA and the TBT, you know, they're playing, obviously, I believe the TBT played in Nationwide Arena in Columbus, which is a pretty big arena, but you know, they kind of had it set up to where, like, you know, the court's just kind of boxed in. There's no, you don't really see the stands. And the NBA is the same thing. They got these huge screens around the court, and you know, they're not doing any wide shots of the arena to kind of let you see that it's empty. So you kind of forget about it when you're watching that. And I appreciated that they're not really pumping in any noise at the NBA. I think it's, you know, there may have to be a little bit of a delay on TV for language and stuff if it gets to be a problem in terms of kind of beeping stuff out. But I appreciate being able to hear, you know, the sneakers squeak on the floor and the guys talking and things like that. I mean, it's a different way to watch the game. And it'll be interesting, obviously, in the playoffs. Right now it's just exhibition games, so there's not a lot at stake. But once you get into the playoffs and you've got, you know, your best players playing 35, 40 minutes a game, it's going to be real interesting to be able to hear guys like Giannis, LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, you know, how they sound and what it's like watching them play in that atmosphere. I think it's going to be pretty fascinating to watch. I'm excited for all of it to get going.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich inside the hall. Let's jump into some IU basketball stuff and start with tonight. A recruiting decision. An announcement is coming at 8 p.m. from Jordan Longino. He's from Germantown Academy in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Villanova, Indiana, among his finalists. What are your thoughts on him as far as what type of player he is and what type of chances Archie Miller and staff have to land him tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be very optimistic from an IU perspective. It just doesn't seem like there's been a lot of buzz for Indiana in this recruitment. It's obviously, I think, somewhat driven by the fact that these guys can't take visits at this point, so it's been all virtual. And in a case like this, just as if Trey Kaufman were to make a decision right now, I would lean towards Indiana because they're the school that has recruited him the hardest and he's most familiar with. In a situation like this, you know, it seems like Villanova is the school that you hear the most frequently associated here. The same thing with Trey Patterson. It looks like this is probably going to be two straight recruitments where the pandemic has been a negative for IU just because of the distance and not being able to get kids on campus. And so hopefully it'll turn in their favor when they do have some announcements, whenever those happen, with a guy like Trey Kaufman having that familiarity with the school and being able to kind of have that advantage. But, you know, I have not heard very much buzz in terms of Indiana getting his commitment tonight. I can't say I'd be totally shocked because nothing ever surprises me in recruiting, but you also look at the fact that, to my knowledge, he hasn't been on campus for a visit. So I just don't know that I feel that there's much of a chance for Indiana to land his commitment.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, my guest. Another opponent added to the IU schedule, and you kind of read this one and wonder, you know, okay, I know you got a schedule. You got to put a schedule together. We've got to proceed as sports and the seasons are going to happen as normal until announcements are made. But Indiana scheduling Western Michigan at home on November 13th, one of the early season games for this Indiana program. If I was a betting man, I would be willing to bet this game does not happen for one reason or another. Either the season is bumped back, either it's conference only. Who knows what could happen at this point?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird spot for us as we, post about news and things like that. Obviously, we're looking for anything we can put up at this time because things are slower than usual. But, I write that headline yesterday, Indiana's going to host Western Michigan on November 13th. And while I'm writing it and posting it, I'm like, well, this game's probably not going to happen. But you have to kind of give the information kind of as we know it now. Interesting to me, I did a Freedom of Information request recently with IU just to kind of see what they had on file for scheduled games next season. This game didn't come back. They got it. It looks like D1 Dockett, who does a great job with this stuff on non-conference scheduling, got the game, I think, from Western Michigan. So they must have released the contract. IU has not released it yet. So, it's one of those things for IU right now, I think, where you probably have to go ahead and schedule games because no one said the season isn't happening. The interesting thing to me is going to be what's kind of the out on these games. I mean, if the Big Ten says we're not playing non-conference, does that just give Indiana an automatic out? Are they going to have to pay some kind of fee to kind of break out of this game? I worry about these smaller schools not getting these games because if there is going to be a tournament next year, not having any opportunities outside of conference is going to kill these smaller conferences. The NCAA is going to have to be a little bit creative in how they pick teams for the tournament because it's just not going to be an equal playing field. It already isn't an equal playing field, and this will just kind of add to that. And also just from the money standpoint, I mean, a lot of these schools rely on these checks from these guaranteed games. I mean, Indiana is typically, I've seen over the years, paying, $90,000 to $95,000 for a school to come play at Assembly Hall. They do that, five, six, seven times a year. So that's a large chunk of change that these schools are going to be missing out on. But I agree with you, Matt. I just don't see at this point in time a lot of optimism that we're going to have these bye games, especially if there's not fans, because Indiana isn't going to have $90,000 to write to Western Michigan or NJIT or Nebraska, Omaha, Robert Morris, if there's no fans in the seats. I mean, they rely on the ticket sales from those games, concessions, parking, all that stuff to be able to write these checks because they make, a pretty good amount of money and they're able to pay that out. If they're not going to have that income, they have no way really to pay those games out. So we'll see. I mean, we had a long talk on our podcast yesterday that we did, released it this morning, but me and Cam Drummond talked a lot about things like the Maui Invitational. Things like that going to happen? You're already seeing, I think, the event that Purdue was scheduled to play in, I think it was in Cancun, has already been moved to Florida. So it just, I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts in all of this. I think we'll learn a lot more in the coming weeks and the months with how football does things, and that'll maybe be a little bit of a model for what we're to expect in basketball. But I agree. I just can't see any way at this particular time that Indiana's playing Western Michigan on November 13th at Assembly Hall.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex, a great series that you guys have had on the InsideTheHall.com site, and we've discussed it the last few weeks here on the program, and I want to continue that today. You've been looking at some of the big storylines in the offseason that fans might wonder about most often when you think about this Indiana team moving forward for next season. And most recently, you guys had a piece on Joey Brunk and what his role could look like next season. Obviously, he's a true senior next year. It'll be his final year with the program. He had, I think, mixed reviews, really, in his first year. There were some things that he brought to the team that were needed. There were some moments maybe that he kind of disappeared a bit. But maybe preview the story, the off-season storylines piece on Joey Brunk and what his role could be like.
Yeah, I think in many ways, I mean, going into the season, it's probably assumed that he's still going to be a starter, at least a key piece in the rotation, and I think that's probably true. I think the interesting thing comes in, last year he started basically all season, and Archie Miller explained it late in the season, basically saying that, you don't make a change because you risk losing guys and kind of guys that have earned spots. You don't really want to rock the boat or change things. In an off season, I think that kind of resets a little bit, particularly with Justin Smith leaving. There's kind of a fork in the road now for Archie Miller in terms of figuring out rotations, starting lineups. He can kind of start anew. I mean, everyone, it's a new off season. Spots are up for grabs. You kind of can pencil in some guys, but to me, that's kind of one of the spots that's open potentially, for Race Thompson to come in or. If Indiana were to go with something a little bit out of the box and play Trace Jackson Davis at the five a little bit more and maybe go with Jerome Hunter at the four and with a three-guard lineup. I think all of those possibilities are kind of in play right now. This kind of ties into something that I actually just finished writing. It'll be up tomorrow. It's like the final piece of this series is kind of looking at the backcourt rotation for next year and how that's all going to shake out, and I think these things kind of go hand in hand. I mean, I think you could see scenarios where Indiana plays lineups next year regularly that are similar to what we saw last year with Joey Brunk and Trace Jackson Davis, and then Jerome Hunter kind of sliding in at the three to take over the spot that Justin Smith vacated. And I can also see an argument where, you maybe go with Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson and then three guards. Maybe you go Trace Jackson Davis and Jerome Hunter at the four and then three guards. But I think the possibilities are a lot different coming into the season because it just feels like in year four now, Archie Miller has the most well-rounded roster that he's had since taking over at Indiana. I mean, the first year was kind of throw things together, see what you can make of it. His guard situation wasn't great with Josh Neuker at the point guard. The second year with Romeo and everything that involved, it was a younger team, high expectations, but the depth wasn't great. And then last year, I mean, they had so many injuries. Rob Phinisee missed a lot of time. Armand Franklin, at the beginning of the season, a freshman who many of us I don't think expected to play much at all, started for a long stretch at the beginning of the season. Now you look at it, just in the front court alone and the back court, there's depth pretty much at every position. And so I think it should be exciting for IU fans just to kind of look at the possibilities and think of, how this team can mix and match and hopefully, they come to figure out a way to kind of deploy this roster in the most effective way possible. I'm interested to see in many ways kind of how Christian Lander and Rob Phinisee coexist. If there's a way to get them on the court together and play them together, I'm really intrigued by that because I think it opens up just a lot of different things and kind of how you're able to facilitate and run your team if you have two point guards that are capable of being on the court together and playing together.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex, thanks for the chat. On IU basketball, we'll be following tonight to see the recruiting decision of Jordan Longino and appreciate your coverage and time today.
Absolutely, Matt. Thanks for having me, and I'll talk to you again next week.
For sure. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. with us always. And that's going to wrap things up for this segment. We'll head to a commercial break and come back with Todd Sturgeon, the coach of Floyd Central, who will join us for a summer update on the Highlanders. We'll talk about Jake Heidbreeder. We'll talk about Caleb Washington and what the expectations could be next year for Floyd Central. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on today's program. It's time for a summer update with an area high school basketball coach. And today we focus in on the Floyd Central Highlanders and Coach Todd Sturgeon. The Highlanders, of course, won the 4A sectional at Seymour before, unfortunately, the tournament was shut down due to the pandemic that we are still in. And Coach Sturgeon is with us to take a look at what the summer has been like and maybe a real early preview, which is fun to do at this time of year, as we hope for a season, we hope for some normalcy in local sports and high school sports about what his team could look like in 2020-2021. Coach Sturgeon, thanks for being with us today. I know that July has been an opportunity to get just a little bit closer to normal in these very strange times because you've been able to get your team together, as have teams from across the area and state, twice a week for some workouts. How are things going? I know it's a different summer from a basketball perspective than what it's ever been for you.
Yeah, oh, for sure. It really was I think it was a pleasant time for everybody. I think the kids enjoyed it. Pretty low pressure coming in, mostly doing individual skill work. Typically we would be playing 14, 15 games during the month of June would be our normal schedule. So I think it was fine. You would always be worried about if you weren't practicing that other people would be gaining on you, but nobody else could do anything either. So from that standpoint, you didn't lose ground. Now, if I'd been in my first year trying to get some stuff in, because I know my first year, that was critical, it seemed like, to get everybody together and start, trying to get a jump on putting a new system in. But since we've been going at it a few years and we got some guys in the program, hopefully we don't miss out on that time quite as much. Actually, it was really valuable for us a year ago when we graduated all those seniors. Mm-hmm. And really had Jake and the JV team coming back, and then Caleb Washington, who was an eighth grader, who we knew was going to be, heavily involved in the varsity situation. So I think last year we won some games last year and were competitive against Mayo over in Louisville and competitive against Carmel out of Indy and some of those teams. So I think that was the first time that our guys on the team and maybe the coaching staff even were like, hey, we might be okay. We got a chance to still have a good year. And so we didn't get a chance to do that this year. And I'm sure there's some guys on our team who were, guys that maybe were in that 8th to 12th man range there, who now with graduation and so forth are going to get a chance to get in the rotation, probably would have greatly benefited from a summer schedule. But I think the guys on our team that play travel basketball, Jake Heidbreeder, I'm sure, has played enough basketball. Probably having some time off was probably good for his body to get away for a little bit and so forth. So I think everybody's a little different. Every kid, even within a program, is a little bit different. But it was nice to get everybody back and just kind of get the band back together one time.
Yeah, absolutely. Todd Sturgeon of Floyd Central is our guest. A summer update today on the Highlanders. And you mentioned a couple players talking about the offseason that I want to hone on a little bit more. We got to start when we talk about FC for next year, talking about Jake Heidbreeder. He continues to improve. I think that we can tell by the recruitment, the number of schools that are interested, the number of schools that have offered him scholarships so far, that he is also, in the eyes of college coaches, improving as a prospect in our area as well. Another D1 caliber guy, a guy that's going to play Division I basketball. He does so much for you guys and was a huge part of the sectional championship team a year ago. As you watch him play this summer, I'm sure you're seeing him take it even to another level.
Well, it's interesting. You know, he's a guy that has some size. He's 6'4", but we get, you know, used to looking at him as a guard, but he's put on 12 or 13 pounds since the end of the season and has really worked on his body. And so, you know, I think he's, you know, has high expectations for his game, not only this year in high school, but beyond. And so he is, he's looked pretty good so far. And, but you know, when you're going against your own guys, you're like, now, does that mean that Jake's really gotten better? Or are we not quite as good in other places? You're always wondering when you're scrimmaging against yourself, what all that means. But no, he's doing fantastic. You know, I'm sure people that follow it know that he's got 6 Division I offers already and probably would have that many more, but teams just felt like that, you know, that they don't want to waste an offer if they don't think they have a legitimate chance of convincing him to come. But, you know, even in the last week or two, we've had teams like, you know, Idaho and Missouri, Kansas City and Morehead State and Kentucky and a whole, you know, a bunch of new people even coming in later on as some of these travel basketball events that the Division I coaches haven't been able to go out and watch. But some of the scouting services and different things have posted games online. And so teams have seen Jake that maybe didn't have a chance to see him before. Even when you would think they're not seeing these guys at this time, they're still finding ways to get access to video and so forth. And so he's continued to get more and more interest.
And another player that I want to talk about, you mentioned just earlier that you recognized even in middle school that he would play a part in your varsity rotation as a freshman, and that's Caleb Washington. Another player that as the season went on last year, he seemed to become more and more comfortable in what you guys were doing and have more and more of a role both offensively and defensively as well. And obviously in the off season, if you're a player like Jake and like Caleb Washington, who I'm asking you about now, you're going to be working hard. Talk some about Caleb Washington, his game. And he's someone that not only is he solid and good right now, but he's got lots of potential when I look at his frame, his body, and some of the skills that he brings to the table, even as a youngster in your program.
Yeah, and he's just a guy that kind of has uncanny he just has a high basketball IQ. He's got great instincts. Just having a feel within a game of, hey, this is a time, you know, I've got a matchup, I should look to score more, or somebody else has got it going and is a just fit in as a young player, had some maturity and then was unselfish and humble that really allowed him to blend in with some older guys. And so all that just contributed to the chemistry we had on our team last year. But no, he has a tremendous, you know, upside going forward. He's got long arms and really can do a lot of things. He's got a pretty good post up game and knocks in a 3-point shot. He's got to get, you know, if he wants to, at his size, unless all of a sudden one of these days he ends up being 6'7 or 6'8, but if he's going to be 6'4 or 6'5, he's got to work on his ball handling skills like a lot of young players. And so he's got things to improve his game. But he's going to be obviously a key part of our team this not only this year, but for the next couple of years.
We're talking with Coach Sturgeon of Floyd Central. This is a summer update on the Highlanders, looking at taking a real early look at next season in high school basketball. One other specific player I wanted to mention that I thought really rose to the occasion multiple times for you last year was Cole Herrett. He really shot the ball well from long and was really, a dagger may be a good word for some opponents you played last year, hit some big shots when maybe they were focusing their defense on other players, including Jake Heidbreder. Cole's a great shooter and someone that, again, is growing into his body, his frame, and has a bright future as a Floyd Central player.
Yeah, he's another guy, and we're fortunate that our last year's sophomores, our incoming juniors, we've got like 7 guys in that group that have a chance to be in the mix. Cole and Brady Moore and several others. Max Trippier was another guy that came off the bench and knocked in shots, especially in the sectional. And so those three guys in particular really were fantastic for us in the sectional. And then we've got some other guys that contributed in our JV team last year, went 21-1. So there's a couple of those guys down there that have some potential. Kyle Potes is a point guard that really adds some speed to our back, you know, potentially could add speed to our backcourt and really create matchup problems if teams are putting their best defender on Jake and leaving him out there. And then we've got some size with Wesley Chelihusky and some others. So anyway, the most improved guy, we've got a kid on out of those incoming juniors, the Hoffman kid on our team, Nathaniel Hoffman, has maybe been the most improved player on our team and might be the most athletic player on our team. So anyway, not to give you the whole roster there, but our next year's juniors really have a chance to not only contribute, but to be key guys on our team and give us some size. You know, in that one class, there's four guys that are between 6'4 and 6'8 in that group. And so, Cole, as you mentioned, was the guy, especially early in the year. Cole jumped, was a guy that went all the way from the freshman team, didn't even play on the JV as a freshman, had a couple of 20-point games, or at least one 20-point game there early in the season, and made critical shots throughout the season, and especially in the sectional.
No question about it. Todd Sturgeon, our guest. You know, let me ask you, going back to last season for just a moment, and this has been building and brewing at Floyd Central in your time there as the head coach. You've had some great teams, some teams that could have made runs in the state tournament. You play in a really tough sectional with New Albany and Jeff in a time when they had some good teams and players, of course, as well. But last year you broke through and won the sectional championship. What does that mean for next year's team? And for the future of this program, does it instill maybe confidence that not only can we know we can compete, we've done that the last number of years, but now we know we can win it. How does this help you building for next season?
Well, you know, what you hope, the real answer is I'm not sure yet. So I'm going on what I hope happens is it's something that just whet their appetite. And these younger guys who, hey, we've had some success and had won a couple of conference championships and finally broke through and won the sectional, but that they finally contributed to that success and were a part of that. And hopefully they start thinking, hey, maybe we can go beyond that and set higher standards for themselves over the next couple of years to try to even better what has been done. And so that's what you're hoping is happening. I'm optimistic. It seems like even though we've been shut down, that our guys have been working, and hopefully they continue to do that here throughout the fall.
You know, with the shutdown, a lot of the typical basketball stuff, whether it was the high school stuff in June, playing in leagues and events and getting practice time in, or even some of the spring, the entire travel season, and of course many of your kids play travel basketball in the off season, that was all shut down. There is some activity now going on with travel basketball, but have you noticed as kids come back to you in the month of July for workouts that there are kids still working at it, there are kids finding courts outside, and I almost think maybe there's been an influx, at least if they've been open and the rims have been up in this pandemic. I think a lot of things had to come down, but it seems to be an influx of kids maybe organizing themselves to go play at a park or for a pickup game in a random church or whatever. And I think that's things that we all like to see that love the game here in the area.
Yeah, you know, guys my age were happy to see, because kids today, because of everything is so organized, they don't play a lot of pickup basketball. And because they're on their school team and then the travel team and all those things. And so a lot of our guys were, you know, talking about how much fun they were having going over, as you mentioned, to a local church or whatever and playing and getting together with some guys at the other schools. And I know a lot of the top players in the area were in communication with each other and were playing as a group together. And so, and I think they really enjoyed that. And So I think guys, you know, and I think a lot of the rules that we have are well intentioned to keep coaches from going overboard with what we demand of the kids. But, you know, at the root of it, this is these guys really love to play, and they've worked their whole lives and they've gotten these skills and they've gotten better and they enjoy going out and playing and doing that sort of thing. And so I think it just maybe a lot of those guys, hopefully it put them back in touch with, you know, their love of the game and that they're excited about, you know, upcoming season, even though as we sit here at the end of July, there's still a lot of question marks over how that's going to play out. But I think our guys are looking forward to it, and I bet that's the same around the state, around the country.
Absolutely. Todd Sturgeon of Floyd Central. He will enter his seventh year as head coach at Floyd Central with this upcoming 2020-2021 high school basketball season. And just a side note, if you're a fan of basketball in the area, specifically if you're a fan of the Highlanders, myself and Chris May had Coach Sturgeon on our Indiana High School Hoops podcast, not only to talk about his time at Floyd Central and building the program back there, but also his long career in basketball in our state, going all the way back to his high school days as a player, his college days as a player, and of course Coach Sturgeon's college years as an assistant and head coach at a couple different stops in Indiana. So that was fun and very informative. And if you want to check that out, you can find it on Apple Podcast and on SoundCloud by searching for the Indiana High School Hoops Podcast. Coach, that was fun. We enjoyed the podcast. We appreciate the summer update today on the Highlanders, and I hope that when we talk again next, we're inching closer to some normal times in sports and excited about the upcoming high school basketball season.
Normal. I haven't even heard that word spoken in four months. So, let's keep our fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Coach Sturgeon, thanks for the chat.
All right. Anytime, Matt.
All right. Todd Sturgeon of Floyd Central. He's done a tremendous job there. Again, year number 7 coming up for him, and it could be another good one for Floyd Central, led by Jake Heidbreeder. He mentioned 6 Division I scholarship offers, including a couple here in the last few weeks. You wonder if that list will grow, and you wonder exactly where Jake will wind up. He's a great player, a Division I talent. There's no question about it. Of course, Caleb Washington, another, I think when you look at underclassmen, young prospects in our area, maybe the next generation or the next level of really good players to come out, he would fit that mold at a early grade, and he'll be a sophomore next year for the Highlanders. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. One more day to go this week. We'll be back Friday at 11 a.m. We'll talk some IU football and Big Ten football, what that season's going to look like, if it happens, of course, with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. We'll also be joined by Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star on our Friday program. Don't forget, check us out as a podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. Just search The Hoosier Report. That wraps it up for today. This is The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.